Hey, everybody. It is I, Hope Giselle. But I did want to come and talk about Angel Reese because I think that there is something that is really interesting about the ways in which she's being treated. And I think that what we're seeing is a huge influx of people trying to humble Black women who dare to be bold and who dare to be anything other than respectable, who dare to be anything other than, a do girl, who dare to say the quiet part out loud. There is something that is really like, I don't know, like it gets the crowd going. It's provocative for people to humble Black women and girls who dare to do something different, right? And so what a lot of people don't understand and what a lot of people don't realize is that Angel Reese is one of the top athletes in her field. Period. You know what I'm saying? As it pertains to women's basketball and women's sports, Angel Reese is one of those names that you can't not say at this particular moment in history. And I think that she's earned that, rightfully so. But there's a lot that comes with that. Angel Reese has been unapologetically, boastful about the fact that she's good at what the fuck she does. And she's done so in a way that has put us in, like, we're in this loving space with her, and especially as Black women and as Black people, because we love to see a Black woman talk her shit and talk her shit in a way that doesn't make or demean other women. And I think that as it pertains to Angel Reese, we've seen this girl pop her shit. We've seen her do her thing. We've seen her come and go and boast and brag and all of the things while also big upping other athletes in the space, while also uplifting other athletes in the space and doing so in a way that was humble, but also reminding motherfuckers not to play in her face and not to be disrespectful, right? And so what has happened is, for the most part, Angel Reese has not had an L. She has not had to take a loss. She has been on top of her game since she's been on top of her game. Since she's been on top of her game. And the one thing that the world cannot stand, and it doesn't matter the color at this point in time, because I have to say this about our own Black culture. We love to see a Black woman win, but we love to see a Black woman be humbled even more than we love to see a Black woman win. And there's something really weird and icky about that. The way that some of y'all love to talk about the ideation that, oh, we want to see Black women win. We want to see Black women do X, Y, and Z. But at the same time, y'all be praying on a bitch downfall and y'all can't wait for a bitch to fuck up so you can point it out to the world. And that is so fucking interesting and kind of like, I don't even want to say kind of. That is weird ass bird behavior to me. The fact that so many people be out here, and especially as it pertains to our own community sometimes, be out here like, oh, protect Black women, peace for Black women, X, Y, and Z for Black women, let's do the do-si-do for Black women. And then the second that a Black woman gets on and she's doing great, if she's not silent about it, y'all want to turn around and be the first motherfuckers to be like, okay, but now humble that bitch. And you see, that's what you get. And you see, it was about time that somebody put her in her place. So what do y'all really want? Do y'all want Black women that are strong and confident and know exactly what they got going on and boast and brag in that in a way that doesn't put other people down, but reminds everybody else that, bitch, I am that bitch. You know what I'm saying? There's something about the fact that Black women just can't say that I'm that bitch, right? I don't think that people like the idea of Black women being able to upfront and out in the open say, I'm that bitch. But for some reason, every other race of woman can say, I'm that bitch, and not a single person bats an eyelash at it. Not a single person wants to talk down about those women. Not a single person wants to, punch Becky with the good hair in the face because she said, I'm a boss ass CEO and I run this company. No, it's giving girl boss then. No, it's giving, oh my God, the vibes then. No, it's giving, oh my God, thanks to feminism then. But the second that a Black woman comes up out of the space and says, I'm that bitch and I dominate this field and I've worked hard to be where I'm at, and not in some weird ass, fake ass, deliver us from evil way, but in a way that's actually genuinely saying, I'm saying this because I want you to recognize that though they told you you couldn't do it either, you can, sis, because I'm that bitch right now, but you have the opportunity to be that bitch later. There's something really weird about Black women making it and being able to claim and own that. And I think I've cracked the code code to it, you all. And what I think the code is on that is that when Black women stand in the power of being able to say, I made it and you can too, it reinforces the narrative that there are going to be less and less and less of us settling for bullshit. There are going to be more and more and more of us striving to be better people, striving to be better human beings, striving to do more, striving to be more, get more degrees, do all of the things. And as we know, on social media, there's this conversation right now that is a very sinister conversation amongst men that are talking about the fact that we don't care about your degrees. We don't care about your education. We don't care about how much money you make. But at the same time, y'all don't want gold diggers. Y'all don't want bitches that want you for money. I think I need somebody to make it make the fuck sense for me. Because if you don't want women with degrees, if you don't want women with money, if you don't want women with accolades, if you don't want women with power and strength, but you don't want gold diggers, you don't want bitches that need you for too much. You don't want bitches that ain't never got nothing. You don't want bitches that need you for everything. I need y'all to understand or relate to the class where the happy medium is for those women, right? I need y'all to relate to the class what it is that y'all do want, because what it sounds like more and more and more and more, and not just because I'm trans, but just because it feels like it's true, is that y'all want homeboys with coochies. That's what it's starting to sound like. It's really starting to sound like a lot of you men want homeboys with coochies. That's what it sounds like. And there's something that's really weird about the fact that when it comes down to this particular conversation about women empowerment, and especially as it pertains to women empowerment amongst Black women, it's not that Black women are just these horrible people when we get up in, you know, up in age, or when we get, you know, certain degrees, or when we get certain accolades, or whatever the case may be. It's about the idea that when you see one Black woman succeed, you can guarantee and bet your bottom dollar that there are four or five more of us right behind her. And there's something that a lot of people, and specifically a lot of certain types of demographics of Black men, not all Black men, some, not all Black men, some, not all Black men, some, but that some group of Black men know and understand that when you see a Black woman win, there are going to be many me's that are going to try to mimic that behavior and therefore reduce the chances of them being able to come into the space with less, because we are going to demand more because we are doing more. You ever heard the saying of don't ask somebody for something that you can't do for yourself? I'm gonna give y'all a little story time. About eight or nine years ago. When I was living in Texas, I met this guy. He was really, really dope. He was really cool. He was one of the first guys that I could date and be open with. And I was trans and all of the things. And it did not matter to this man, okay? And it was real, real cool. And I went on a couple of dates with this guy. They were really dope. We would talk every day. It was kind of cool. It was just the vibe. He was all of the things, this, that, and the third, or whatever the case may be. So my birthday was coming up, and this man said, okay, well, like, what you trying to do, what you want to get for your birthday, X, Y, and Z. Now, because I had been raised in the school of bad bitchery, I was like, okay, so I'm gonna get what the fuck I want, because I'm deserving of what the fuck I want, okay? So I politely went on ahead and sent him the link to a Louis bag that I had been eyeing and window shopping for and doing all the things. Now, I want y'all to understand that, bitch, I'm worth a motherfucking Louis bag. Period. Point blank. Okay. I sent him this link, and this man politely says to me, why do you want this bag? And I said, because now the city girl in me has been activated, because now it's giving you broke. And I know you're not broke. I know what you drive. I've been in your car. We've had these conversations. I've been to your home. So why are you questioning me about this bag that is literally not going to put a dent in your salary, let alone your week's check? What's the problem? So I proceeded to go city girl on him, and I was like, well, what's the problem? I don't understand why I have to explain to you why I want this bag. I'm a woman. You asked me what I wanted for my birthday. I sent you the bag. Why is this a problem? So this man proceeded to break it down for me, and he said, well, we've been dating for about 3 months now, and I've never seen you carry a Louis Vuitton bag. Do you have a Louis Vuitton bag? To which I responded, no. He says, have you ever had a Louis Vuitton bag? To which I responded, no. He asked me what kind of bags I have. And at the time, I had a couple of Michael Kors, maybe a Coach, and a couple of other random ass bags from Target, okay? This man says to me, if you won't invest to get yourself a Louis bag, why would you expect me after 3 months to invest in a bag that you can't afford and that you won't even sacrifice to get for yourself? Now, let me tell y'all something. That hurt me in a way that I needed it the most, because as fucked up as it was for him to say that, and especially considering that you asked me what I wanted for a gift, I don't think that this was the moment to use this as a lesson to teach me about myself. But I had to accept the fact that it was absolutely right, and it was so true. And I also had to accept the fact that I would never allow a man to gather me like that ever in a motherfucking life, so long as I live. Ever again. Okay? Now, what I will say, y'all, is that this man was not broke. He had it. There was never a dinner that didn't cost over $400. There was never a moment that we couldn't, you know, go and do whatever the fuck I wanted to do. But when it came down to the idea of me asking this man after 3 months of, you know, just dating and cordial talking or whatever the case may be, and I hadn't given up the pussy, he was well within his rights to ask me those types of questions, because I was asking this man to spend about $3,000 on a bag that I would never spend $3,000 on for myself at that time, because I didn't have it. And even in the event that I could get it, I would not have sacrificed upwards of 3 months' rent to buy a purse. And what he was trying to teach me was the value of a dollar and the value of myself. If I wouldn't be willing to do something for myself, if I wouldn't be willing to go out on a limb and stretch myself thin, right? And stretch myself thin for the idea, hey Jerome, for a bag, then why would I go and ask somebody else to do the exact same thing that I wasn't prepared to do for myself? If I didn't think that I was worth the stretch, if I didn't think that I was worth the time and the energy to save up for that bag, then why would I ask somebody to do that for me just 'cause? And especially when we were not in a committed relationship and we had only been talking and there was no sex involved and there was nothing else involved that would say that. But what it taught me, like I said, was never again will I have the opportunity, or will another man have the opportunity, or another person that I was dating have the opportunity to check me about my worth in my motherfucking house. Absolutely the fuck not. So one of the things that I brought that up for is because of the idea that when you have a lot of these conversations with these men, a lot of these men will say things like, oh, I don't like these new age bitches because they always begging. They never have their own. They do too much. They want you to buy everything for them. They want you to pick up the tab. They want you to do X, Y, and Z and blah, 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 blah. Hey, Ty. They want you to do all of these different things, but at the same time, they don't have no fucking money. Right? But then when you go and you boss up on these dudes, when you have women that literally go and they find their niche online and they start selling candles and those candles start, you know, selling and doing numbers, when they find that online boutique audience and they fucking boutique stores doing numbers and they end up going from a Honda to a fucking, you know, a Lamborghini in 7 months, and, you know, they start their makeup business that they've always been wanting to start, and now she's booming and she's doing X, Y, and Z and she's a millionaire and da 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 da. Now y'all trying to humble a bitch. So which one was it? Did you want the woman that needed you and that was going to beg you for your money because she didn't have anything, because she was taught that men were supposed to take care of women point blank and the period, and whatever she brought to the table was going to be good enough so long as she knew how to hold down the housely duties and whatnot? Or did you want a woman that was going to boss up and be able to meet you where you were? The thing about it is that when they find women that boss up and meet them where they are, they realize that those women have different sets of standards and those women have different sets of expectations for a relationship. You do not get to come into my life and tell me what the fuck to do when we both make the same amount of money and we should be making the same amount of decisions as it pertains to our relationship, our bodily autonomy, and whether that be a platonic relationship or a romantic relationship, we should both have the same amount of say-so in the final decision of things. And I think that when we look at the conversation around Amanda Seales and when we look at the conversation around Angel Reese, what we see is that there are Black women in power who know what they want, who don't necessarily need, right, the male gaze in order to
level up or do better for themselves. Now all of a sudden you have women who want to be the pick me ass bitches, who want to be taken care of even at your own expense, and not to a degree that is healthy for the relationship, but to a degree where now you are a piece of property. You have all of those people coming against women who are leveling up while also screaming black girl power and girl empowerment and girl get the bag. You don't get to have it both ways, but you do get to have a healthy medium of what that means. Just because I might be the breadwinner, or just because I make my own cash, my own money, it does not mean that I get to walk around and be a bitch to people. It does not mean that. It simply means that I do get to have more of a say-so in the way that things go, because I am contributing in an equal or maybe even more valuable party of the way that this relationship goes. And again, this is not about relationships. It's about romantic. It's about platonic. It's about business. All types of different ways in which black women have to engage the system. And the system is not black men. The system is not men in general. The system is the ways in which people have been taught to think about black women who know how to get it on their own without the help of other people. And I need folks not to get lost in what I'm saying and think that this is an attack on men or an attack on black men specifically, because it is not. It is an attack, and it is a thought process on the system that keeps black women feeling like in order to be seen as valuable human beings in society, we have to be humble, mild, meek, and not talk about or revel in the idea that we are also powerful and that we've done the work, we've logged the man hours in order to be able to say the things that we want to say about the ways that we've come up in the world. It is absolutely appropriate for Angel Reese to say that she's one of the best fucking athletes out there, because she is. It is absolutely appropriate for Serena Williams to say that she dominated the sport, because she did. It is absolutely appropriate for Amanda Seales to say that she is one of the smartest women in the room, because usually she is. The problem is that people don't like it when you say those things, because people don't like intelligent women. People don't like powerful women. People don't like women who have know-how, right? People don't like women who are hustlers that are going to get it by any means. And so when I say these things, I'm saying them to remind y'all that respectability is not the only part of the conversation that we're talking through. Because people don't like a city girl that knows how to hustle her way out of a fucking paper bag. A bitch doesn't like a girl that been to prison 4, 5, 6 times, and every single time she get out, regardless of the fact that we know she going the fuck back in, she knows how to level her shit up within 2 weeks. And people don't understand how you have that type of mentality, mindset, hustle, drive, whatever the thing is that you got, you have it. And the reason why people don't like that, especially in women, is because there are so many people that spend time at home wishing, hoping, dreaming, praying, all of these different things, instead of actually getting up and doing it. And so when a woman does it, let alone a black woman, and then has the nerve and the unmitigated gall to tell the world that she is the best in her fucking field, whether she's scamming or going to motherfucking school full time, people have an issue with that. And again, the issue doesn't just come from the fact that this woman is attitudinal. The issue doesn't just come from the fact that this woman is doing the wrong thing. The issue doesn't just come from the fact that this woman is black. It comes from the fact that when black women get together and share secrets and share thoughts and share tricks of the trade, that there are more black women that are going to follow suit. And then in return, there are going to be more black men that have to step their cookies up and come to the table with something larger. Because one of the things that I think that this argument boils down to is the idea that a lot of men don't feel needed. A lot of men don't feel useful. A lot of men don't feel like black women, excuse me, and especially intelligent black women, need them anymore. And when you have conversations about strong women, and especially strong black women like Angel Reese, Amanda Seales, you name it, like there are so many other like amazing strong black women out there in the world, I think that what we see is there are plenty of women that are now holding that mirror up at black men specifically, and a specific demographic of black men the Hoteps, right? And making them bring more to the fucking table than dick and a decent check, right? It's not enough to have that janitorial job anymore. And not because it's not a good job or a good career. It's just not enough because that janitorial job only brings in $80,000 while her little boutique that you are so motherfucking jealous of brings in around $300,000 a year. It's not enough anymore to go ahead and just call yourself a star athlete because she's playing on the WNBA team and she's also doing the cross country tour and she's also an entrepreneur and she also opened up 2 restaurants in Washington DC. And so now, even though you are the star and everybody knows your name, she's still raking in $500,000 a year. And so you feel like you are defeated. It puts the mirror to men who are okay with doing the barest of minimums, who thought that they were hustling, right? I think that a lot of people don't understand the idea that women innately have it in us to hustle because we are bred to be protectors, nurturers, and we are also bred to be problem fucking solvers. If we left the world up to men, everything would go up in flames tomorrow. There would be 50,000 fucking wars. Everybody would be fighting and slapping each other upside the fucking head because a lot of you all do not understand conflict resolution. A lot of you all do not understand hustle. And a lot of you all don't know how to get going when the going gets fucking tough. A lot of men can't catch a common motherfucking house cold without acting like the biggest baby in the goddamn world because most of them have been coddled so fucking bad that the second they have to do anything outside of the one thing that they prepped themselves to do, they fucking crumble under the pressure. Whereas women, we've been bred to have to understand that we are likely going to have to save and pull everybody out of the dark hole. And so mind your motherfucking fences, pick up your goddamn britches, and get ready to do it. Because at some point in your life, no matter what kind of woman you are, no matter what kind of fucking experience you've had, whether you've lived a soft girl life your entire fucking life, or whether you've been a hood bitch the entire time that you've been alive on this fucking earth, at some point in your life, as a woman, you are going to have to make some shit shake. And that is not a thing that all men can do, and it is not a thing that all men are bred to do. Yes, a lot of men are bred to be protectors. Yes, a lot of men are bred to, you know, show up and do the things and do the hard stuff. But a lot of men are not built to break when it comes down to the idea of actually having to do the shit that is uncomfortable to make stuff happen. You see, what happens is women know how to push our pride to the side to get the job done. A lot of men will look at the idea of what they have to do and say, I'm not doing that because as a man, right? And there's just certain things that even as a woman, I'm going to have to do away with that real quick because my kids got to eat. I'm going to have to do away with that real quick because my husband needs his pride intact. I'm going to have to do away with that real quick because at the end of the day, bitch, I refuse to go back to my mama's house. I'm going to have to do away with that real quick because I refuse to go back to that shelter. And the reason why you have a homeless population that is more filled with men, and specifically men of color, is because a lot of men are not built with the idea that you are willing to do whatever the fuck it takes in order to survive out here in these streets. And so when you put all of those things into women, and then you slap the idea of an education, you slap the idea of a decent vocabulary, you slap the idea of success and virality and all of those things into it, it breeds a whole new generation of women that now sit on the opposite side of the table in their business suits with their calculators out, their motherfucking life plan ready, and the understanding that they are not settling for less. And it scares the fuck out of men who did not come prepared, who did not prepare the speech, who don't understand what a Roth IRA is, who don't understand what stocks and bonds are, who don't understand what the Vanguard account is, who don't know how to put away for their 401k, who have never heard about the idea of what it means to set up a CD, who don't know what it means to actually put aside money for a rainy fucking day. Like, all of these people and all of these different types of men are being challenged by the fact that a lot of these women are showing young girls that there is more than one route. And while the city girl route was real popular, now we're starting to see that the more popular route is to actually do the thing that you want to do and excel and succeed and be great. And as a black woman, there is something that is super powerful about that. But the problem is that there are other black women that also want to take away the shine from things like that because they they don't want to have to work. They don't want to have to think. They don't want to have to use their brain. They don't want to have to use their mind. They're perfectly fine being barefoot Contessas at home and allowing their man to delegate and regulate all of their money, all of their finances, the entire household, even if this man is leading them straight to fucking hell, they are perfectly fine being led so long as they don't have to do anything, because that... Some bitches is lazy. Some bitches is lazy, right? And the idea of having to show up in a world where there are women who are simply not going to be okay with delays, right? Regardless of the idea that all women, I do think, have the autonomy and the power and the wherewithal to be able to get up and make some shit shake when the shit shakes. A lot of women wait for the shit to shake before actually showing up for themselves. A lot of them are perfectly fine with the idea of being able to say, my man, my man, my man, my man, because it means that I don't have to think with my brain, my brain, my brain, my brain. And a lot of the things that we're seeing out here and a lot of the content that we're being shown, right, is this whole new idea of the soft girl life and the soft girl aesthetic and all this and that. And oh my God, like when I'm with my man, I'm do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Like that's cute. But now that I'm really peeling back the layers of that, that shit is not the vibe. Because it's reinstilling this idea that as a woman, it is okay to turn your mind off around any man in any vicinity of the world and to no longer question the idea that there are certain men that are going to lead you in the wrong direction. And if you're not paying attention, you will be led and not know what the fuck to do once you get there. What I've learned is that life is not about the idea of allowing men to lead you as a woman. Life is not about the idea of accepting that every single relationship, whether it be platonic, business related, love related, fucking related, sex related, friendship related, life is not about the idea of men telling women how we are going to act, be, live, do, whatever. Some of us even have this idea that, I'm not in a relationship or we're not in a relationship until the man says that we're in a relationship. And to some degree, I believe that for a while. But the problem is, that's bullshit. You're in a relationship when you're in a fucking relationship. The idea that this man won't admit that you're in a relationship because he's trying to do what the fuck he wants to do has nothing to do with you. But when the relationship screams at the motherfucking top of its lungs that this is what the fuck it is, then we're going to acknowledge that. And if you don't want to acknowledge that, then I'm not going to acknowledge you. I don't understand the idea that we've fallen into this trap as strong women and as strong people and as X, Y, and Z to be made to believe that it is okay to shut down just because a man is in the vicinity. And what I think that young women like Angel Reese do for a lot of people is remind them to keep their fucking minds turned on. What a lot of the young women like Angel Reese remind Black women to do is to never let your hustle go, because at any point in time, there is going to come a moment where you're going to need to remind yourself why you're here. And it is not just for procreating. It is not just for the idea of being some man's trophy wife. It is not the idea of just looking pretty. It is not the idea of just folding and washing clothes. It is not the idea of just being a sex symbol for somebody. It is not the idea of just being able to go with the flow. It's not just being able to show up whenever you are called and being able to speak when you're spoken to. And a lot of people do not like that example. A lot of people did not like the example of Moesha before we realized how problematic she was once we grew up, because yes, we did realize that Moesha's character was very fucking problematic and she was low-key aggravating as fuck. I still love her to death. That is still the reason why y'all have Hope Giselle, but I'm just gonna let y'all know. Bitch, once I grew up and realized how problematic and goddamn annoying Moesha was, I kind of wanted to change my life story, but I can't do that because life is life. I just want y'all to know that, but sidebar over. Anyway, the reason why people do not like positive images of young Black women on television is because you start to see the numbers of college graduates growing in Black women. You start to see the number of doctors and pharmacists and lawyers and things growing in Black women. The reason why our TV shows and our social media has changed isn't by chance. You started to see more men doing things and succeeding at X, Y, and Z because there was a need to have more men in the workforce. And there was a need to make sure that minority women didn't want to do anything except stay at home and allow men to be men while we were out here gallivanting, partying, pretending to be a part of the Bad Girls Club and all of that bullshit. Do y'all not notice that with the rise of reality television, the decline of college entries and college graduates started to drop?
and the enrollment and the enlistment in the army started to raise. Do y'all think that that stuff is by choice? Absolutely not. So when we think about the idea for why people are so upset with Angel Reese, when we think about the idea for why the system is so upset about smart Black women and Black women who are intelligent and Black women who don't back down and Black women who own their accolades, it's not because they think that these women are truly arrogant and undeserving of the idea to be able to talk about the ways in which they serve themselves before they serve everybody else. Me first, then you, right? And the world and society and the powers that be do not like me first, then you, ass women, because it then empowers a group of people who do the me first, then you method. And when you put yourself first, when you put your education first, when you put your goals first, it requires men to do the same and not lean on the idea that their entire identity can be built around being a man who's a protector. Because, okay, you can be a man who's a protector, but what the fuck do you know about protecting outside of being able to beat somebody up, outside of being able to give me half decent dick and maybe an orgasm every 3 fucking years, and on top of that, just being loud and having a deep ass voice. Outside of the fact that you have a dick, sir, you're a lesbian. Spot the difference. So I think that when we have a conversation about folks like Angel Reese, and when we have this conversation about what it means to be a woman who is not going to take the bullshit, and when we understand that it's not just about the idea of throwing fits and hissy fits or whatever the case may be, it is about the idea that we, right, as Black women have been told for so long that we were nothing more than tools and conduits, right, to uphold and make everybody around us better. We were never supposed to actually use our gifts, our tools, our tricks, our trades for ourselves. And now we are starting to move back into the age of the Claire Huxtable, into the age of the Moishas, into the age of the Brianna from One-on-Ones. We're starting to move back into the age where young Black women are starting to go back to school and really take that shit seriously, where young Black women are starting to learn about entrepreneurship, where young Black women are starting to learn about finance, where young Black women are starting to actually want to date Black men for the sake of being able to invest with Black men, to be able to build Black homes. Because at the end of the day, the Black man might be the leader, but the Black woman has to be the conduit to inspire him while the world is beating his fucking ass. And if there are too many of us that are positive, if there are too many of us that are winning, if there are too many of us that are succeeding, and then pouring that love, that energy, that light back into our Black men, then guess what? There's too much fucking positivity. And once you have positivity sprinkled around this motherfucker, and people can see clearly, and Black people ain't fighting each other no more, and Black women are loving on each other, and Black men are loving on each other, and everybody got a little common sense, and ain't nobody's falling for the okie doke no more, guess what? It is harder to convince us that we are our own fucking enemies, and it becomes easier for us to focus on dismantling the system that has been built against us. And do not let them make you think anything different. It starts with separating women from men. It starts by taking Black women's mentality out of the idea of success and putting it in the fucking gutter, throwing it in the goddamn trash. Because if we are fucked up, our men have no one to go to, our men remain fucked up, they can be brainwashed by their fucking people, and then nobody wins. And all of us stay divided, and all of us keep pointing the finger at each other instead of realizing that the system has been rigged this way since the beginning of time. And what I think is happening is that we're starting to turn the TVs off. We're starting to build our own content when we do watch fucking TV. We're starting to have more conversations with each other. And as hard as they have been these last couple of years, and as much as we want some of these motherfuckers to throw away their microphones and their ring lights, it has to be said that a lot of these conversations are healing for the fucking community, because we've actually been able to hear the opposite side and then start to build conversations around how the fuck we fix this shit. They don't like the idea of positive representation. They don't like our podcast. They don't like our shows. They cancel things out there that are built for us, especially things that are built for us in the positive, because they want to continue to control the narrative. They want us to believe that we are nothing more than Flavor of Love and Bad Girls Club reincarnated in different fucking boxes with different fucking show stars that they platform. They want us to believe that we're nothing more than Sukianas and motherfucking Young Miamis. And while those things are a part of our community, while those young ladies are just as valid, while Sexy Red is just as valid as Michelle Obama, they want us to believe that there's no nuance to those things. And we are starting to realize and know fucking better. And on top of that, I'll do you one even better. We're starting to realize that we can be both and at the same fucking time. And when you have a group of people, specifically when you have a group of Black women that understand that they can both own their power, sit in their sexy, and own their intellect all in one fucking body, and then turn that shit around and empower Black men to do the fucking same, and then live in the same fucking harmony and peace that they pretend to live in, but for real, while smoking the ganja and having great rhythmic sex? Oh, bitch. We make their boots quake. We make their boots quake. Cowboy Carter ain't got them shook just because Beyonce get on their fucking nerves. It has them shook because it introduces culture back into Black people's fucking conversation. It reminds us that we don't have to just listen to fucking trap. It reminds us that there are so many more facets of our history that we should be exploring that we're not, because we were convinced that that was some white people shit. The reason why these motherfuckers are mad is because they had convinced us for so long that we didn't belong in these genres, that we didn't belong in these spaces, and they did that because they wanted to erase the history from whence they came. And so having motherfuckers go and tell us and remind us that actually this shit started with Linda Martell. Actually this shit started with great Black motherfucking cowboys. Actually this shit started with Black motherfucking people in the South. It reminds us that we have no reason not to listen to this shit. It reminds us that our lineage goes deeper than fucking hip hop, rap, and R&B. And it reminds us that we created lanes for ourselves because they told us that we had no other fucking choice, instead of realizing that they stole everything from us and then made us feel like we were the outsiders in our own fucking genres. Can I get an amen? And all of this starts with the revolution of Black women who fucking get it, who own their power, who make sure that they not only own their power, but then empower other young Black women to do the exact same fucking thing, who get into healthy relationships with Black men, who break the fucking stigma and break the doors down on exoticism and colorism, who then have Black fucking babies and Black fucking relationships, having Black ass times in spaces that were white ass motherfucking spaces, who are enjoying intergenerational fucking conversations, who are also enjoying a plethora of other things outside of the things that y'all told us were for us, who stop fighting over fucking Jordans and start wearing whatever the fuck we want, who stop talking about the idea of what it means to be a Black man that paints his fingernails and starts getting into the idea of what it means to be a Black man who is free, who stop going to fucking prison and start building motherfucking businesses, who stop trying to travel to your city and start learning how to build our fucking own, who stop spending money on Lamborghinis and motherfucking car doors and start putting it in land so that we have safe spaces and safe havens to live in, who stop arguing about who was fucking who and who was born at what, and start to organize together and really build community. Those things are the things that scare them. And y'all can think that it's about an album. Y'all can think that it's about a song. Y'all can think that it's about one lady. Y'all can think that it's about one girl. It's not about one person. It is not just about Angel Reese. It is not just about Amanda Seals. It is not just about the idea of Black people fighting themselves out here intellectually inspired. It is not just about the idea of Black women out here fighting themselves, wanting to talk more about the ways in which they show up in the world and how the way that they show up in the world can be manifested not just in them, but in the people around them. It is so much more than what they're trying to tell us and spill to us on the media. It is so much more than people writing oppositional pieces about people that look just like them for the sake of having clickbait and views and likes and engagements on their Instagram pages. It is so much more than that. And when we move move past those things and when we stop allowing the media and the power and the figureheads that be to tell us how to talk about each other, we move into a space where we start to break down the system as it stands, and they have nothing left to build on because we have become our own base. And this is the thing that they've been afraid of for years. These are the people that they've been afraid of for years. We are the people that they have been afraid of. We are the generation that they have been afraid of for years. The generation that is not going to cower in fear because you're a white person with a little bit of power. The generation that is not going to cower in fear because I'm going to lose my job if I say this. The generation that's not going to cower in fear because when I earned it, I'm going to let you know that I earned it, and I'm not going to pretend like I'm not the best when I know the fuck that I am. I'm not going to allow you to tell me that because I lost today that I should feel bad for the rest of my life, because I can win tomorrow. And when we start to instill those things in one another, and when we start to build each other up, and when we start to remind ourselves that Sha'Carri Richardson is not a motherfucking monolith, and that it can happen again, and that it will happen again, we remind them that we are growing. And despite what y'all want to put on the news, and despite the fake news that y'all want to put out that makes it seem like we are continuously out here not growing from our mistakes, we know fucking better. And it's starting to become harder for them to do it, which is why they are building this AI bullshit, because the more fake news that they can put out there without actually having to build off of real news, they can keep us trapped for just a little bit fucking longer. And it starts with stories like Angel Reese. It starts with stories like Amanda Seales, but it does not end there. And they know it. And they see that the reckoning is fucking coming, because they see that a lot of us are understanding nuance better. They see that a lot of us are understanding that you don't have to like the person to understand that their work is valuable to the community. They are starting to see that we understand what it means to stand up, to show up, to work up with each other despite how we feel about each other on personal bases. And that has these motherfuckers shook. Don't let them tell you any different. So, if I don't leave you with anything else this evening, what I will say about this situation is we can have conversations about Angel Reese. We can have conversations about Amanda Seales. We can have conversations about the Journalista, the Griot, Blavity, and all these other people. But we cannot let those things distract us from the idea that there is growth behind and underneath all of the surface level bullshit that they're trying to push on our news feeds. There is something that is more sinister at play, and it is the idea that we are actually doing the thing that they thought we would never do. We are having the conversations that they thought would never be possible. They did not think that it would happen in their lifetime. They never thought that we would be out here talking about and sharing history of what it meant to be a part of country. They never thought that we would really be out here talking about the fact that we built rock and roll from the ground up. They didn't think that we would be out here knowing that we started the dance music craze and that it wasn't some white people shit. And my thing is, they're mad at the Beyoncés of the world. They're mad at the Khaleeses of the world. They're mad at the Jasmine Paquettis of the world. They're mad at the change makers of the world. And they are mad that they're black women, because it is easy to keep black men divided because all you got to do is make most of them mad. But the idea is, when you start to galvanize women together, a lot of us know how to be petty with a bitch, because I'll sit right next to you knowing that you fucked my man just to prove a point. And so when you put women together, it doesn't work the same way. And they understand that unlike their women, our women know how to push that shit to the side and beat you the fuck up, and then go back to not liking each other. And that is what's scary about this situation. Because the more that you empower black women to stop hating on each other and stop being pick-me's for one another, and then pull black men into the conversation, the less power that you have over our entire community. Y'all ain't gonna have no choice but to start building fake-ass AI stories and making them look real motherfucking good. Because pretty soon, there's not gonna be enough gun violence for y'all to report on. Pretty soon, there's not gonna be enough hatred in the community for y'all to report on. Pretty soon, there's not gonna be enough divisive ass podcast for y'all to report on. Because the more I look up and look around, I don't know about y'all, but if you really think about that shit, how many conversations have gone from the boys this and the girls that and what you did this and what you did that to how do we build this as a black community? And I actually understand where you're coming from. I'm actually going to take that creative criticism. I'm actually going to take where you came from. I might not like the way that you said that, but I needed to hear that. If you really think about it, I want y'all to think about how many of these conversations have been shifting. And we haven't realized it, but I want you to think about the idea of how many of these problematic motherfucking podcasts have low-key been shifting. It took a minute,
But the conversation is changing. And y'all can think that they not paying attention to it. Y'all can think that they don't notice it. Y'all can think that they're above it all. Y'all can think that they don't pay attention because it's that black shit, but they do. And they're scared. So I applaud the Angel Reese's of the world. I applaud the Amanda Seals of the world. I applaud the Beyoncé's and all of the bad bitches that are not afraid to say the things. And I applaud the men that are out here willing to go to fucking war and go to bat to make sure that those women remain in the forefront and that the voices of their the voices of their research and the voices of all of the things that they have to say remain heard. But that's just my two cents. That's it and that's all. Bye, everybody.